Oh non. Oh no. So is it a question of luck or of skills? Like, say that someone wants to. Okay, because say that someone is watching you right now is thinking, oh, I had so much fun on Don't Starve Together. I left some stuff which are super hard. Do you have any tips for new player right now so that they don't get super frustrated in the few first hours? I can hear you, yeah, but you said you had OBS issues. Aye. I wanted to say clip ask Noble Cooper. But if you
And
can
then
tell us
switch
whatever,
to
Adam.
default.
Oh,
Okay.
if you have any
Yeah, now
latest
it's working.
from
I don't
Adam.
know what's going on.
Aye.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my audio. I don't know why everything's being
What
so
a
weird,
shame.
but
People couldn't hear you or really whine.
oh, that's so disappointing. It's so irritating. I don't know why it does that.
You know what? It's okay. Don't worry. I have little shorts about the rain world with everything you just said. Tips
Yeah,
and
so I'll just be real
tricks.
short. Grain World is incredibly difficult. Basically, what's happening is there are the game you monsters are randomized every time you go through on a different cycle. Things might be in the same place, they might not be, so you might get a lucky run, you might not get a lucky run. They have a karma system. Yeah, thanks for telling us. There's a karma
Thanks a
system,
lot.
so when you hibernate, your karma goes up a level. If you die, your karma goes down a level, but you need to get through certain gates, you have to have a certain karma level. So if in gates can be in like a safe spot might be like 10 screens away from a gate. So if you need a karma level 4 to get through the gate, you hibernate until you get your karma level up, and then you go to the gate. If you die, your karma level goes down. Now you have to go back to that safe spot, you have to get up food, you have to hibernate again, and then you have to get to that gate on your first try, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to access it. So you have to do it on your first try once you get your karma up. So yeah, it's really difficult, but Antoine was asking about tips. So the tips I say is your Slugcat has a stamina. Watch his eyes. If the eyes are closed, it means he's tired. He's not going to be making jumps. He's not going to be able to swim for as long. Make sure that his eyes are open. That means he's aware and awake. And use the D-pad because an analog stick has 360 degrees of movement, but the game was built for computer with WASD. And so there are certain things that you need to do. For instance, if you press down and throw, he'll drop something. There are times where I'm pressing and I want to jump and throw something. For instance, I have this little worm thing that can shoot out its tongue and I can use it as like a grappling hook. And so I was pressing, but maybe the analog stick wasn't sitting at 0 degrees. Maybe it was sitting at -2 degrees or -5 degrees. So the game registers that as right and down. So then instead of throwing the thing I wanted, I dropped my slug, I dropped my grappling hook and fell into an abyss. And so it's no, that's not what I wanted to do. So yeah, so don't use the analog
Hey.
stick because the analog stick is fickle because you're supposed to have 8 points of up, down, left, and then the diagonals. And with the analog stick, sometimes it'll think you're doing a diagonal when you're trying to be flat. And so I noticed it specifically one time where there was a pole, and I figured this out because there's a part where there's a pole, and I climb the pole, and I throw a spear into the wall, and I want to jump to the spear, but the spear is slightly over to the right. With the analog stick, I noticed that a lot of times I would try to jump, and he would just jump straight up and down. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to jump to the right. And if he jumps to the right, he jumps like extreme to the right. And I was like, oh, this is so hard to control. And then when I switched to the D-pad, it was like, oh, okay, it's only registering as purely up or up at a 45 degree angle. Those are the only two. There's no range of
So,
movement.
just to confirm, don't use this.
Yeah, use the D-pad.
When he says D-pad, just to confirm, yeah, use this to play RimWorld.
Because otherwise it's going to be really hard. After I did that, I was like, oh my God, this is so much easier. But yeah, the part I'm in right now is just really difficult. Everything wants to kill me. And the problem is, like I said, you have a time between the rains, and the distance between save points can be really long. And sometimes, like for example, where I am now, I need to move and I need to climb up basically like a corridor, and then I need to climb up the outside of a wall, and then I need to climb like it's called the underhang, and you're hanging under a wall, and you need to climb there. But there are these big things that have these like tentacles that reach out in all directions, and sometimes it's sitting right above you, and you need to climb up a pipe, and it's sitting right on top of it, and I need to wait for you to move, but I only have 13 minutes. Come on, dude, move. And it'll sit there for 2 minutes, and you're like, oh my God, there's zero chance of me making it on this run. And so things like that. So like the game, the way the creature design encourages patience and planning, thinking things through, but the rain encourages gun it. And so those two things conflict. and make the game really punishing. So yeah, so I'm having a tough time of it.
So what do you think you're gonna do? Are you gonna try to power through the survival?
I'm gonna power through this thing. I'm determined. I'm angry now. I'm gonna power through. No, I'm not gonna start over. I started using a guide. I'm like, okay, I need to look at maps. I need to look at guides. That's the other thing, is the game does not tell you anything. So when I first started playing, I was like, okay, Rain World, get above the range, right? Go as high as I possibly can. So I went as high as I possibly can, and I reached basically the top of where I could go. And it was like, okay, you're at the top. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And then it's, oh no, you're supposed to meet this robot dude who's way over there. Nobody told me anything about a robot dude. There's nothing... There's a little thing that kind of tells you. It says, like, points in the direction. It says your family is this way, but other times it points the other direction and says a safe spot is this way, a monster is that way. And it's, I'm not really sure where I'm supposed to go. So the game, yeah, and it's not like a Metroidvania where, like, in Metroid, you go through, you get access to a new weapon, you unlock shortcuts. No, there are no shortcuts. You have to go the long way every single time. So, yeah.
Are you streaming this one? You're not streaming this one?
I streamed it one time. And then I streamed Frozen Flame because they had an update. And I finished the entire update in one stream. It was a very small update.
Okay. Because it's interesting, but I just don't want to play it because it sounds way too hard. So I was thinking, if you stream it, you know, like sometime take a little break to do a little tip, and then you can clip it and put it as a short on YouTube, because somehow it really works. And I would watch it, because I want to see clip, especially the part where you rage. That's good.
Yeah, no,
the rain is coming!
Yeah, I'll stream it again. It's just this week we're doing winter classes, so I'm busy in the morning, so I can't stream this week.
Okay.
But next week I'll be back to my regular schedule of Tuesday and Friday. All right, so we're going to switch over to the news. So we're going to do our little transition thing, and we'll be back with you guys in a little bit. So
I appreciate the new transition by Adam.
Yeah, check it out. You heard it?
I don't see nothing.
No, he didn't see it. I didn't put it on the right thing. Okay. Yeah, this is old video. I don't know why this video keeps auto-turning on. All right, so we got some trending stuff this week, so let's go ahead and start talking about that. So to start off, we have The Last of Us HBO. This is a show. Did you ever play The Last of Us game?
Oh, yes. Big fan of the number one. A bit less of number two, because what's super charming about number one is this relation between Joel and... Oh, I forgot her name.
Ellie.
Okay, yeah, Ellie. Okay, so it's really their relations through this trip through the US, which is really fantastic. The end is extremely controversial because you know it shouldn't end this way, but you're still happy it ends this way. It's a really cool game. I do not like horror games. I do like zombie movies and things like this, but usually horror game is not for me. So if you played Last of Us, and when Joel takes the elevator and falls through to the basement of the hotel, it's completely nearly in the dark, and you have stalkers just outside the office. And I had a change of knickers on this one, because I loved the game so much. And honestly, I'm not a completionist. I love to finish the game, but when I do 80, 90%, I'm good with it. On this one, I played one run normal, and I did play the extremely hard, the latest level difficulty, because I really wanted the immersion, and the immersion works fantastically in Last of Us Part 1. Part 2, the trouble is still a good game, and the story is really good. It's just the alchemy between Ellie and Dina, or Ellie and Asian guy, I can't remember his name, doesn't work that well. It's good. It's still good, but compared to the number one, it's a bit of a letdown. You don't have the wow effect as well, as much, of course, as you have in the first one. So it's fantastic, it's good, but it's not Game of the Year as I think it was. Game of the Last of Us Part 2, I think it was Game of the Year. And I think it was the same year as Ghost of Tsushima, and I would have put Ghost of Tsushima ahead, clearly. Fantastic. I want to see the show with Pedro Pascal. I want to see that. But on Crave, I have Netflix. I had for a while Disney Plus for the kids and Amazon Prime, because I have an Alexa and my kid always turn on subscriptions. I need to find a way to stop that, because they listen to the music. And it's on Crave. And there was Halo on Paramount. Oh, many of them. That's too much. Stop. I'm not going to pay to see one show. I did it a long time ago to see Game of Thrones on Crave. But apart from this show, Crave is not good. To stay polite is really bad, right? I'm not going to pay a month or two just to see The Last of Us. I'm not saying go and pirate. No, I'm just going to wait for it to show. I don't know where, but so right now I'm really frustrated because I really want to see it, especially that Adam told me the first reviews are good. And Pedro Pascal, I really think he would make a great Joel. Justin? No. Who's Ellie? Ellie, the actress? Oh, okay. Because she was based on Ellen Page, but I think she's the one who...
Would she play Ransom?
I think Ellen Page is the one who switched sex.
Ellen Page is the one point. That Ellie looked like. She was for it, and she didn't agree to that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But anyway, I really want to see your show. I can't. Oh, I'll find a way to watch it, but I'm not going to subscribe on Crave. Same as I did not subscribe on Paramount to watch Halo. Stop this. Frustrating.
Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't seen the show yet. I have HBO Go. We don't have HBO Max here in Taiwan. We have HBO Go, which is weird because I don't know if there's a difference. But I haven't watched it yet. But from what I've heard, it's actually pretty accurate to the game. They did change a few things. One thing that they changed was in the game, there are areas with spores, and that's a way to get infected is to inhale these spores. And so they have to wear gas masks. They took that out. Mm. They no longer infect people through spores. Apparently, that's actually scientifically inaccurate. Most funguses don't do that. So that's interesting to know. But
it's a zombie game.
You still get infected by bites. They have, I don't remember what they called them, but they're these little tendrils, basically. And if the tendrils like scratch you or something like that or get into you, you can get infected that way. Yeah, so you're not going to get infected just by randomly inhaling things. That was Tess's death was changed. In the game, she is killed by, you're being pursued by, I don't know if it's the Fireflies or just generic army people, but.
It's the army. You are Firefly. They are mercenaries and they have connection with the Firefly countrymen. No, they have connections. They are not mercenaries, but
there's some kind of military force.
Yeah, because Tess and Joel bring resource back inside the colony on the downside. The army is having a war with the Fireflies. You get caught in the middle at some point?
She gets bitten and she decides to stay behind and buy time because she realizes that at that point in the game, she's been bitten, but Ellie has also been bitten, and she notices that her infection is getting far worse, whereas Ellie, who was bitten first, her infection is actually not progressing. And so she realizes this is legit.
Oh, you mean Ellie is bitten during the show?
No, Ellie is bitten... In the game, Ellie is bitten, prior to when the game begins.
A while ago.
Yeah, she was bitten like a week earlier, and her infection is not spreading. Tess is bitten in the process of the game, and then her infection is spreading, and she realizes, because at that point, before that, I don't know if this is true. So in the show, Tess still dies, but not fighting the army in the same way as the game. I don't know, I'm trying to avoid spoilers while also spoiling. So she still does die, so that's a change, but it's basically the same situation that they're in when they realize, so it's not changed too much.
We'll forgive it. It's an adaptation.
Yeah. And then I think that part of the reason, like they were saying, we got rid of the spores was not, it's apparently not scientifically accurate, but that's not why. The reason was because we want people to see the actor's face, so they took their masks off.
So the spores in the game are just bothering when you're in close space. So.
That, but then also it plays a part in the sense that Ellie, it shows the Ellie hiding, like other people will put on masks. Ellie will put on a mask too. She doesn't need one, but she does it so that people to kind of like blend in with the other people. And I think at some point, like maybe she forgets to put a mask on or something like that, or she doesn't put it on quick enough and then reveals her condition. So things like that are different. And then also the latest episode is controversial. It's about if you remember Bill and Frank from the game, where they go to the school, the one guy's already dead, but apparently and they did not get along very well. If you read the letter, you find out that the one guy felt like he was basically trapped with the other one. But in the show, they lived a long and happy life together. So they completely changed their relationship. Or not completely, because I mean, they were still lovers, but they completely changed. It wasn't a one-sided thing. It was now a very loving and tender thing. But some people feel that maybe this one episode was because they dedicated an entire hour to just this one couple. And they're like, they're not important to the rest of the story. So a lot of people felt like maybe this episode felt a little bit like filler because you're not even following the main characters. And we're only on episode 3. So how can, you know, you're 3 episodes in, we've seen almost no growth between the two main characters, but here we're showing this entire story of these other two characters. So some people felt like that was a bit of a pacing issue.
Honestly, that's one of the great things which was in part one, which I didn't find it really in part two, is the background stories that you follow through the notes. For instance, there's a guy who has been at sea, you know, a sea captain, and come back and see that everything has been destroyed. And he found some orphans and create some kind of little hideout in the sewers. And through the notes, you can see that it went down to hell, and you can actually see the sewers and where they used to live. And there was some betrayal and things. Or when at some point they cross a little river, a little ford, and they find a kid. And can't remember if a kid or a baby, really small grave. I'm not sure if they would show that in the show, but there's plenty of really touching moments where you can see that everything went down to shit. Or at some point you meet a little black boy and his sister, and you think that everything went fine, and the night passed, and maybe not to spoilers, but something terrible happens. And in the game, you know, it really puts you in the mood as a, oh, finally, we're just having a little trek, and we know that the world went down to shit, but hey, because you feel a little lighthearted and everything, and this happens, you're like, this world completely screwed up, and that's just terrible. But this little balance that works very well in the first game.
Yeah, they do a good job of showing you, like, oh, hey, like, there is still some good in the world, but it ended badly.
No.
But there's another like, joy in some people who found a way to survive, but it ended badly.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is a bit of a roller coaster. All right, so moving on to the next piece of news. For PlayStation Plus this month, The World is coming out. And yeah, I have the original Ollie on the PlayStation Vita. I haven't played Ollie World, but apparently this is trending, so that's why we're talking about it. But yeah, this is a little 2D kind of skateboarding game. I haven't actually played it. I do have it on my Vita, but I have never actually gone through and played it. So have you heard of these games?
No, to be honest, the last time I played a skateboard game was Tony Hawk Pro Skater on PlayStation 1.
Okay, it's basically a similar idea, but 2D. It's all side-scrolling, so I guess it's a cross between Tony Hawk and Excite Bikes on the original Nintendo, if you remember that game.
Of course, so, this and Snowboard 1080, something like this.
Yeah.
They were all different skin, but all the same game.
Yeah, but apparently, from what I've heard, even on the Vita, the original one, it was pretty popular. So if you're into that sort of thing, it's very, if you're playing a game like Rain World and it's frustrating you, and you need to get a break exactly. from something, this is the perfect kind of game to do that. It's easy, fun. Just have some fun with it. Enjoy your time with it. So this is a good kind of relaxing game for when you're trying to get away from those things that are really driving you nuts. Yeah, moving. I don't have anything else to say on that, unfortunately.
And to be honest, we're nearly at the hour. So I don't think we can do much more news. But the question I have, because one of the trending stuff we saw was Hogwarts Legacy coming out in 9 days, right?
Yeah.
February 10th.
Yep.
Question is, will you play it and will you stream it?
I don't know.
Would you
go ahead?
Just Noble Cooper, if you're still here with us, would you like Adam to stream it? Would you like to have some? We can even ask Krian and the whole gang buy the game, and we have, I don't know, in 1 or 2 weeks, a special Hogwarts, and we can give you all our tips and tricks and base. I don't know, 2 weeks or a month, just short about this game. We could do something like this to see if it works. That's something which is interesting because the Harry Potter trend is old. And
everybody goes back a long
way now. Yeah, and the Fantastical Animal or whatever. Fantastic Beast. Yeah, exactly. It has been quite the flop. It didn't reanimate this Harry Potter fever like we had 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So this Hogwarts Legacy coming out is a bit of a little pun, but they kind of miss a train here. I don't know. But there's a big hype about it. So I'm curious.
This one rides the fence. The game, I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. I've seen all the movies. I haven't read the books. So I'm not like a huge fan or anything. But after seeing game, so I wasn't interested. And then after seeing gameplay, I'm like, this actually looks fun. This looks really fun, paralyzing people and stuff like that. I have seen some things that are a bit odd. If you're familiar with the books, there are, what are they called? They're called like the Forbidden Curses or something like, there's like Curses, the Excrucio. Yeah. That's the one that's like the pain curse or something like that. And it's forbidden.
The death curse, the controlling curse,
Exactly.
The torture.
You can use those in this game. So, yeah, you can use all these curses that are supposed to be evil. There is no karma system. So you can be as evil as you want, and it doesn't matter. So, yeah, yeah. So you can go around cursing people with these forbidden curses, and then everyone in school... Supposedly, the students might talk about you behind your back, so you might hear whispers when you're walking around about what they say about you, but it doesn't... Use of these evil spells doesn't impact your gameplay, which is an odd choice, because it seems like that would be a huge... It's a huge part of the lore, and they're just like, man, you know what? Use these spells. We don't care. Have fun with it. So
you kids do whatever you want anyway.
Yeah, that's true. They do. Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting choice that they went with that. But the game is getting a lot of mixed, not reviews, because the reviews seem to be, the people who played it seem to really enjoy it. But apparently, due to some of J.K. Rowling's tweets, some of the things that she said, there's a pretty big backing of people saying don't support the game, which I don't really agree with. Because I do think we need to separate the art from the artist. I understand the point, because some people are saying, a lot of people are saying, if you don't buy the game, J.K. Rowling's one person, but think about all the developers. Think about all these other people that put their heart and soul into this thing. They're not going to get supported. They deserve support too. And I've seen people saying they've already been paid, so don't worry about them. They're going to get their money one way or the other. J.K. Rowling, on the other hand, makes royalties. So if the game doesn't sell well, the developers still get their money. J.K. Rowling does not get hers. So that's a reason not to buy it. But from my perspective, is yes, they've been paid for this game, but this game is going to be paying for the next game. That's how it always works, right? So if you don't buy this game, they might have to face layoffs or things like that in the future. They might have to, like, if the studio does horribly. So... Yeah, in a way, they've gotten paid for this game, but the next game depends on the success of this game. So their jobs are still dependent on the success of this game. Maybe not the money that they've already received, but future income is dependent on the game. So I do think the argument of supporting the devs is a valid one. But it's up to you. I understand a lot of people want to boycott it because they do feel that it's not an appropriate thing to support J.K. Rowling. And if that's your feeling, I support that. Leave it up to your conscience whether you want to play this game or not. For me, gameplay looks interesting. I was not planning on getting it anyway because it was Harry Potter. But after watching some, I'm kind of like, you know what? Maybe I should check it out. So yeah, let us know if you think that we should check this out and play it. And I'd be more than happy to... run around in it for you guys. So let us know what you guys want.
Yeah, but first I want to see some more gameplay shots. I really want to see that.
You're going to see me running through the same, like, four screens for 2 hours. Yeah, yes. So you can see.
Move! Ziren is coming! Ah.
Now, there are times where I've been through and I'm like, all right, I'm getting through. And I'm like, okay, everything went smooth. The thing spawned on the left side of the screen. I went on the right. I need the right side of the screen. Everything went smooth. Everything went great. And then you're like, okay, I'm going. And then out of a pipe, a lizard just done. And it's, come on. And things like that. Or, yeah. And then there's other times where it's, you're going through. And then there's like maybe one lizard sitting on a pipe. And you're like, okay, I need to wait for it to move. It sits there for 2 minutes. And then you're getting through. And you're like, all right, I'm finally going to make it. And then you can start to hear the rumble. And it's, it's coming. So it's very frustrating. But yeah, I'll stream that as soon as I can. Maybe on Saturday evening. If not, then which would be your guys, like, a Saturday morning. Otherwise, I'll do it my Tuesday morning next week, which would be Monday evening for people in the U.S. Yeah, if I haven't given up either. All right.
I think that's all for today.
Yeah, that should bring us to a close. Thanks for coming and watching. Hopefully, we're able to still pull some good clips out of this. I'm sorry that we had an audio issue. I don't know what's going on there. It's weird. If I set my audio to the headphone input, it was not registering. I don't know why. That doesn't make any sense. Now I set it to default. Now it's registering. So I don't know if it's pulling from this, if it's pulling from my camera, or if it's pulling from the other controller's microphone that I have pulled in over here. I don't know where I'm pulling audio from, but I know it works right. All right. But with that, we will see you guys next time. Have a lovely week and look forward to our 2 podcasts this week. So catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Need transitions.